Let's just get right into it, shall we? Instead of screwing around like normal. Let's just have a show. That's what I vote today. We're just going to have a show. Hey everybody, what have we got today? We have some big topics today. Talk about some chapstick. We are going to talk about what makes Pete Pete. What the hell happened? What's wrong with me? Maybe we'll talk about checks too, if we get a chance. And that's probably about it. But it's going to be pretty good. Maybe I'll take a male fertility test if time allows. Which isn't just me jerking off. That's a real thing. Okay, we'll get to it here. Stay tuned. So much to do today that I don't even want to get started. I'm afraid that getting started will just get us into it and then we'll never get out. We'll never escape. Escape, as some might say, as some might get hit for saying in my home. Welcome to this, our show. Today we have a very full content-packed kind of day for you. We're going to just jump right in. Several months ago, long ago in the history of this show, several months ago, I took a genetic test, by which I mean I spit into a test tube, and what was three or four of the most thrilling minutes of radio history that I guess a couple of you at least actually listened to, which is horrifying to consider, that some of you actually felt like you could listen to a show where it's, okay, this is somebody live spitting into a tube for 3 or 4 minutes to fill up a tube and send away to get his genes tested to find out just what makes Pete Pete. What kind of sperms, what kind of cum combined with what kind of my mom's cum or whatever it is from a mom to make a me. It's a me, Pete. So we've got some answers. Now, I'm not going to cover everything because some of this shit's boring, right? Do you really want to know? I mean, I'm 14%, 15% British and Irish. Whoopty shit. No kidding. Oh, really? I'm not from South Africa? Well, that blows my fucking... this is going to make me sound like an ignorant asshole. How come South Africa is like a white place where black people are not in charge? I don't understand that. That seems like not a continent where white people could be in charge, but apparently on that part of that continent, they are. How did this happen? I don't understand how this happened. Anyway, we're going to just cover some of the more exciting parts. Under the My Results tab, I've got a health overview and an ancestry overview. Really, I think the only ancestry thing that's probably interesting, well, there's two things. This is my Neanderthal history. Or as some people would have you call it, a Neanderthal, which I don't say I'm 8 inches tall, right? Because there's no H there. I'm enthralled with that, not entalled. Entalled is what my penis gets when it sees a naked woman, okay? Or an especially good-looking naked man. I don't know. What can I say? I'm flexible, okay? So how much of my DNA comes from Neanderthals? Well, the average European user is 2.7%. Pete, higher or lower, will play a game. I'm 2.5%, so I'm slightly lower than average. Higher brow, narrow shoulder, slightly taller. Now here's what's funny. Neanderthal, heavy eyebrow ridge. I do have heavy eyebrows. Long, low, bigger skull, definitely that. Prominent nose with developed nasal chambers for cold air protection. Prominent nose, I'd say that's true. So I guess I got all the worst Neanderthal qualities. Now it also has based on different races. So I'm slightly less Neanderthal than the average Japanese person. And about the same, slightly more Neanderthal than the average Chinese person. So somehow, my genetics fall right in the middle of a Japanese and a Chinese person in terms of Neanderthalness. I find this bizarre. This is already, we're very early in the show. Well, we crossed the 5-minute mark, so it's okay to get into some racy shit. How am I in between a Japanese and a Chinese person? I wouldn't think that I'd ever be splitting the difference between Japanese and Chinese. That seems so much more alike than me and a Japanese person or me and a Chinese person in any way. Way less than a Nigerian person. Turns out, Nigerian people are not very Neanderthal. They are modern humans, more than all of us. I don't even know what to make of that. Here's the one other thing I thought would be interesting. There's a little something on here called a DNA melody. So here's what happens. This lab looks at several components of your DNA and creates a... combination of creates and crafts. I like to combine words that way. It's much faster. You'll notice how much faster it was that I combined those words and then spent all this time explaining them than if I just said the two separate words. It crafts a unique melody based on your genotype. How does this work? I have no fucking idea. Would I even know? It's not like I would listen to it and be able to say, oh, okay, this is bullshit. This is not what my genes sound like. Does it explain how this works? Okay, so this lab creates a melody based on several traits that 23andMe reports on you. Your melody will differ from another person's depending on your genotype. The key is a series of pitches that relate to each other, creating tonal coherence. No duh. It's the thing they always talk about on The Voice. The key of your melody is derived from your maternal haplogroup. Okay. That's exciting. There's a timbre, which I don't know, and a rhythm. Is derived from traits such as eye color and height. And the pitch is derived from traits such as earwax type and photic sneeze response. Okay. That makes sense. Probably the biggest things that I would say contribute to what I'm like as a person, physically, emotionally, and so on, is what type of earwax I have, which I didn't know there were more than one option. I would guess the options are a lot and not as much. And photic sneeze response, which is if you look up at the light, it causes you to sneeze. I would say that those are the two. That's all I filled out on my OkCupid profile. Excuse me. So let's see. Let's see if we can play this DNA song here and see what happens. I'm not really sure if we're going to get something amazing or if we're going to get something bullshit, but I'm going to just push play and we'll see what happens. Here's my DNA song. Okay. Doesn't sound familiar so far. Weird they would add this in at the beginning. Well, I'm happy with that. You guys? Okay, let's play the real DNA song, shall we? We'll see what really happens. Oh, I can select different instruments. Piano, classical guitar, dulcimer, koto, marimba, sitar, and steel drums. Well, let's just start with piano. See what it sounds like. Go from there. Well, that's a bullshit song. It's certainly no, this is how we do it. That's for goddamn sure. Should we try a more festive instrument, maybe? I don't know. Marimba? See what happens? This sounds like something that would come from a movie that has a haunted house and a little girl who's a ghost. Let's try steel drums. Okay, I'm depressed. I am thoroughly depressed with that. Well, I hate it. I hate my song. I guess that means I hate my DNA. Good. Let's go into the health overview. And I'd like to look at some health risks. You know, I'd like to, let's explore what my risks are. I have some guesses on what they are. Automobiles, probably. Drinking. But let's see what this thinks. Here we go. Up at the top is gout. I have a 35.7% risk, and the average risk is 22.8. What is gout, you might ask? I don't actually know. But here we go. Gout. Oh, it's got a picture. This is showing a literal picture of a demon biting somebody's foot. I don't understand. But there's a printable version of the picture, thank God. Gout is a painful form of arthritis caused by high uric acid levels. Is that like piss? The body produces uric acid as a byproduct of breaking down certain substances. When there's too much of it, the uric acid can form crystals and trigger attacks from the immune system. These crystals often form in joints, particularly the big toe. Dietary factors, including alcohol, and protein consumption, greatly increase. Damn it. I thought it said gently increase, but it's greatly. So, you know, what I was hoping, and then much worse. Greatly increase the risk of a gout attack. Gout is so well associated with rich diets that Renaissance kings once flaunted the swollen and red joints it causes as badges of their royal status. Well, that's not such a bad... So, basically what that's saying is, gout is all a matter of PR. When I get the gout, which I guess I will, I can just sort of say, oh, well, this is perfect. I have gout. I'm fucking rich. All right, I'm eating decadent chocolates constantly. You know that aisle in the grocery store where they have the chocolate that's not made out of goddamn wax? That was for me. That was my idea. And I'm basically funding that myself. So A, you're welcome, and B, go fuck yourself. Enjoy your shitty food. What are you eating over there? I literally, a couple minutes ago, basically ate an entire bag of what I thought were bagel chips, which is why I felt like it was completely okay to have cream cheese on them, to eat them with cream cheese, you know? I didn't like spread them with a knife, but using cream cheese as a dip. This is never a good idea, by the way. Cream cheese is not a dip. That's a spread. When you're using it as a dip, that's just, you're living the scumbum life. But I figured it was okay because they were chips. Turns out they weren't even bagel chips. They were pretzel chips. I ate the whole bag. They're shaped like pretzels. It says pretzel chips on the bag. There's nothing about it that suggests that they're bagels. For some reason, I just thought they were bagel chips. If someone said, what kind of chips are you eating? I would have said bagel chips. Almost finished with the bag. I just read the bag because I was thinking, I got to get some more of these. I wonder what the package looks like here. And it says, goddamn pretzel chips. I'm looking all over thinking, I could have swore to God I thought these were bagel chips in some way. No, they're just pretzel chips. This is how rich my diet is. I don't even know what I'm eating. And I'll just eat cream cheese on anything. I was eating what I thought was a bagel the other day. It turned out to be a donut. And I just put cream cheese on that as well. I cut it in half, put cream cheese all over inside it. Toasted it lightly in the toaster. Has anyone ever toasted a donut in the toaster? Is that a thing that you could do? Is that good or terrible? I don't know. I don't know about this. A donut toaster. Could be good. All right, let's go back. Let's go back and see what my other... You know, before I could look at these health risks and whatnot, it kind of gives you this warning. Something along the lines of, okay, just so you know, you can't unring the bell here. So if it says, like, guess what? You're going to get fucking cancer. Now you know. Let's see. Chronic kidney disease. Well, that's not a surprise. Restless leg syndrome. Now, this is interesting because I'm pretty sure I actually have had this, which I kind of assumed was like a psychological disorder. But let's see. Restless leg syndrome. Imagine what it would be like to crawl into bed every night, ready to catch some much-needed Z's, only to be struck by an irrepressible urge to move your legs as soon as you begin to relax. No matter how tired you were, instead of drifting off peacefully, you would be compelled to get up and move around. It may sound crazy, but this is exactly the situation people with restless leg syndrome, RLS, experience. Though the symptoms in many are milder, it is estimated that about 4% of the U.S. population suffers from this puzzling disorder. Now, I'm telling you right now, I've had before where I have this specific memories of I was dating this woman and we'd be sitting on the couch in her house and I just would have this feeling like I had to move my legs around, and it was the most bizarre feeling. And if you got up and walked around, it kind of went away. You kind of felt better. But just sitting there, it would drive you fucking nuts. I don't know really how to describe it. It's like almost like an itch and you just have to scratch it. You know, I can go here. There's a resource. The Willis Eckbound Disease Foundation. Do I have RLS? There's a quiz. Survey, it's called. So let's see. Please note that this tool is currently unavailable with the browser Google Chrome. Okay. First question, Google Chrome. Of all the browsers you could have unavailable, fucking Google Chrome, what's your problem? All right, let me reopen this. Okay. Here we go. Do you have, or have you had, recurrent uncomfortable feelings or sensations in your legs while sitting or lying down? Yes, I have. Thanks for asking. Do you, or have you ever had, a recurrent need to move your legs while sitting or lying down? Yes, I have. Thank you for asking. Are you more likely to have these feelings when you are resting or when you are physically active? Definitely resting. See, I don't understand how you would have it when you're active, because it's called restless. So if you're walking, it's not a feeling you could have while you're walking. I don't know. It's like you're aware of your legs in a way that's terrible. You know, sometimes you'll become very aware of your breathing and you're like, I just need to turn that part of my brain off. These feelings usually start, I kill the brain. That's why I'm going to have kidney failure. Do these feelings usually start when you are resting? Yes. If you get up to move around while you have these feelings, do the feelings get any better while you actually keep moving? Yes. Which times of day are these feelings in your leg most likely to occur? Oh, it's always at night or evening, I would say. Which times of days are these feelings in your legs least likely to occur? Morning, midday, afternoon. All the ones except the ones I chose on the other one. That's basically the same question. Well, simply changing leg position by itself once without continuing to move usually relieve these feelings. No, it does not. Fucker. As these questions progress on these kind of quizzes, they should include that. No, goddammit. No, fucker. That would make me feel like I was answering more honestly. Are these feelings ever due to muscle cramps? No. Do these feelings occur only when sitting or when lying down? I've only had them when sitting. Oh, that's an option. Perfect. When you actually experience, I hope I'm going to pass this quiz. What if it's like, nope, there's no way. So you're fucked. When you actually experience the feelings in your legs, how distressing are they? I would say a little bit. In the past 12 months, how often did you experience these feelings in your legs? Now, I haven't had them for probably the past 12 months. But, well, I don't know. One day per week when I was at my peak there. Approximately how old were you when you first noticed these feelings in your legs? Please write age. 69. I'll put 28. That's my guess. Oh, Jesus. I have to fill out one of these little CAPTCHA codes. These are nice. Just in case someone was setting up a bot to take this quiz over and over to determine if they had restless legs. Based on your answers, your symptoms may be due to Willis-Eckbaum's disease, also known as restless leg syndrome. Talk to your doctor about your symptoms and available management options. All right, well, I don't have a doctor, so here we go. Let's see. I got a slightly thing of glaucoma, type 1 diabetes, Crohn's disease. I'm pretty sure that Crohn's is one of the poop diseases. Let's see. Although our immune system spends most of its time protecting us from outside invaders, sometimes it can cause disease by acting inappropriately. Crohn's disease, CD. Okay, we don't need to call that CD. Oh, I have CD. That's just going to make everyone confused. Compact discs or the savings account? Oh no, not a good thing. This is a butt disease. It's actually a chronic bowel disease caused by an overactive immune response to, quote, friendly intestinal bacteria. Symptoms include diarrhea, cramping, and bleeding. Oh, Christ. About 100 to 150 out of 100,000 people of European ancestry have CD. The disease is especially common in people of Jewish ancestry. Racist. The occurrence of CD has risen over the last half century, leading some to believe that modern lifestyles have introduced a new environmental contributor to the disease. Great. Well, I can enjoy some nice diarrhea here. That'll be good. So I have a slightly higher thing. But you know, I don't know. I haven't had a... we don't need to get into it, but bloody stool-wise, I think I'm doing fine. Everything else I'm pretty good on here. It doesn't look like I'm going to get Lou Gehrig's disease or Tourette's syndrome. I have a slightly higher than average chance of Tourette's syndrome, I guess. But I can live with that. So let's move on. This is the part I thought would be the most interesting. My traits. What makes me me? Me, me, and me. This show is all about me. You at home can guess, if you know me, whether or not I have these things. Alcohol flush reaction. So this would be like if I basically blushed from drinking booze. I consider this to be a great thing. Think of the money you could save on makeup if you could just basically have a little flask in your desk, and if you wanted to have blush look, just take a quick hit off of that, and all of a sudden, boom, you're blushed for life. So no, I don't have that. Obviously, if I think that that's an advantage and that a good plan, a good life skill plan is to have a flask in your desk, obviously that's not something I have. Bitter taste perception. Unlikely to taste. Now, earwax type, which we discussed earlier a bit. I guess there's two kinds, wet and dry. What kind do I have? What kind do you have? It turns out I have wet. So if I say to you something like, I'm so wet right now, it is not a sexual indication, even, and it shouldn't be, even if I said it and I didn't have the wet earwax, because why would I be wet? That would be gross. Well, I piss myself. I'm so wet right now. Okay. Well, let's jump in the sack. Nothing's going to turn me on more than that. No. I'm saying that my ears need to be cleaned. I'm so wet right now, and I could really use a Q-tip and kind of just want to lie down. Let's see. Hair curl, straighter on average. Lactose intolerance, yes or no? Likely intolerant. I won't tolerate it in this house, I think is what that means. I don't seem to have bowel distress or anything from it. Don't seem to get crony, if you will. But I won't tolerate it in the house if I can. Not in my house. No son of mine is going to be drinking glasses of milk in front of me. Let's see. Male pattern baldness, typical odds. Muscle performance. I'm likely to be a sprinter, I guess. Well, that's good. That's a useful genetic trait. Oh, yeah, you could run fast. Okay, good. That's going to serve me well. Resistant to HIV AIDS, yes or no? Fingers crossed. Not resistant to AIDS. Turns out I'm not resistant to AIDS. So sorry, guys. Does anyone say that? Is anyone's thing say, oh yeah, you are resistant to AIDS? That would be pretty awesome. If I saw that, it's probably a good thing that it doesn't say that, right? Oh, you're resistant to AIDS. I'd be like, all right, well, I'm basically invincible then. I mean, I might get Crohn's, but I guess that's better. Really, the worst disease of sex, I'm in the clear. Because what's the second worst after AIDS? Hepatitis, maybe? Are we counting that as a sex disease? That seems like you could get it 100 million ways. I mean, after that, what is it? Herpes or something? That's nothing compared to AIDS. I'm in the clear. Let's see. Caffeine consumption. So let's see. I'm likely to consume a slightly higher amount of coffee per day on average. Well, I'd say that's probably true. I mean, that's almost getting horoscopy, don't you think? It looks to be like you might be. What's slightly more? Fuck you. I drink way more. Way more. Height. Subjects average 0.3 to 0.7 centimeters shorter than typical height. So I'm 0.3 to 0.7 centimeters shorter than I should be, which is like nothing, but still would be nice. Think what I could have done with those 0.7. I'd be a captain of industry by now, certainly. I've been thinking about interviewing for jobs in a wheelchair, because then they won't know exactly how tall I am. Everyone kind of looks the same height in a wheelchair, right? They don't think like, oh, that guy's short. That would be the meanest thing. I mean, I guess I've wondered. I see a guy in a wheelchair and I'm like, I don't know, that guy looks like he might be short if he wasn't in that wheelchair. Or if he's just in there to hide that he's short. That's a good scheme. Short on height, not on brains. I'll give him that. Fucking wheelchair guy here. Let's see. And just move right along. Photic sneeze reflex. That's the other one we talked about regarding looking at the light. Is that going to cause me to sneeze? Oh, let's see. I have a slightly higher odds of having the photic sneeze reflex. Well, shit. I can see why they gave me the warning. Yeah, this changes everything. How am I supposed to look directly into the sun with confidence ever again? That's been taken from me. I've been robbed of my ability to stare at the sun. I actually did that by accident the other day. I felt so fucking stupid. It's kind of a cloudy day. I'm driving. This is going to be almost unbelievable how stupid I am, but I swear to God, I think it's just maybe it's the morning for me and I can't use my brain. It's not available. It's like one day your computer starts up and it just says the hard drive is not found and you know it's in there, but it's just not available at that moment. You're going to have to wait. Or you know, your favorite website's down. Well, you're going to have to wait. It's there. Physically, it's there. You can't have it, though, at this moment. Get used to that idea. So I'm driving to work and I'm looking into the sky, the cloudy sky, and I see what I think is the moon. And I'm looking at it thinking, wow, that's a really crazy looking moon. It's just bright, all white, one color. And then I realize I'm staring directly into the sun because then I look away and I could barely see. I'm like, oh, that's great. I have these things. The eye doctor is the hardest for me. I like my eye doctor because she didn't ask a lot of questions. But I've not been good to... The first time I went, she asked me some questions, you know, about putting in contacts. Can you touch your eyeball? Flashback to middle school when I would just touch my eyeball. That was kind of my... Everybody has their sort of lunchroom parlor trick of like, check this out. Or maybe you can bend your fingers back or do something like that. I would just put my fingers directly in my eyes and just rest them on my eyes. So was I comfortable putting in contacts? Yeah, I think that's probably going to be fine. I also shined a laser pointer directly into my own eye because the direction said not to, and I wanted to see what would happen. I had this discussion with somebody the other day. I think 90% of what boys do from ages, I don't know, 2 to... 25, the bad things we do could be summed up in, I wanted to see what would happen. Not necessarily I didn't know, because you sort of know, but you wanted to see what would happen. This is the important distinction. It's not enough to just suspect. You want to see it happen. You want to see what would happen, or in my case, not see. It ruin your vision for life. Because why not? And then, because it kind of hurt my eye, I shined it in my other eye, figuring that it would be best if my eyes were even. That's how smart and stupid I am. That I'm touching my eyes, shooting a laser into them, and then staring at... I'm fucking 30 years old, looking at the sun in the middle of the day, thinking it's the goddamn moon. Jesus Christ. Anyway, that's how I relate to light, I guess. Sex hormone regulation. What do we got here? Let's see. Oh, on average, about 12% lower levels of circulating SHBG in postmenopausal women. What? Oh, it... let's see. Sex hormone binding globulin. Is that cum? It's a protein. Could still become that binds to and inhibits. Could still become the activity. Could still become of both estrogens and androgens. Okay, not cum. Lower levels of SHBG may be linked to a higher risk of breast cancer. In this study of approximately 1,600 postmenopausal women of European ancestry. I mean, what about men? I don't understand. So I have a lower level of that. So if I have a lower level of the protein that binds to and inhibits the activity of estrogens and androgens, I guess that means I have a higher level of estrogens and androgens. Sounds good. Men produce more androgens. I know that. Androgens are primarily responsible for the development of masculine features. So I have very masculine features. I am a very manly character. You might not know this about me, but I do lots of things like football stuff, ride motorcycles. I've been known to really enjoy mowing a lawn on a Saturday. And I like yelling at kids who are enjoying their lives. I am a man. Eating behavior. This, I assume, is going to just be a picture of a pizza when I click on it. Let's see. Women showed, with my genetic type, why does this keep saying women? Women showed a greater tendency to overeat on average. Women be eating, right? I would say I have a tendency to overeat. Overeat in the idea of eat until I cannot eat any further. My stomach almost hurts. But it's hard to know. You wouldn't think, again, idiot, 30 years old, you wouldn't think it'd be hard to know when you were done eating. You would think by 30, you would be able to look at a plate and say, this is going to be the amount that makes me full, sated, but not overly full. But no. Or maybe you do know that. I'm just not asking that question. I don't look at a pizza and say, what would be the amount that's going to make me full, but not overly so? I look at that and say, how much of this can I put into my body and be able to crawl from the kitchen to the bed? And let me tell you something. That distance in a studio apartment, very little. You could eat the whole large pizza and still make it. I'm confident. Leave the box, sit on the floor, legs stretched out in front of you, pizza in your lap, turn on some other podcast, not this one, because I can't eat a whole pizza listening to my own voice. That would just be sick. Turn on that podcast, just start eating, and don't think about when to stop. That's the key. Why think about when you're going to stop? That's when the party's over. You don't show up to a goddamn party thinking, oh, I can't wait for this to be over. That's some attitude, mister. You show up thinking, this is going to be fun. It'll be over when it's over. Overeating is the same way. Do you like how I'm giving everyone tips on how to overeat? Just in case you weren't sure. You don't know how to do it yourself. I know a lot of people in America have a problem eating too much. It's really difficult for them. I'm here to help you. Let's look at longevity. So this is how, not height, as dummies like me think. This is how long you'll live. Now, here are the categories. Not a great chance of living over 100 or to 100. Typical chance of living to 100. Higher odds of living to 100. What's Pete going to be? Turns out, I have higher odds of living to 100 human years of human age. I can't tell you how thrilled I am about that. I thought maybe I'd only have 87 years of this to tolerate. I would go out far too young at the ripe age of 50. God forbid, slash, I could work that out. But no, I've got lots of time. I'm not even a third of the way through. Can you believe that? 3 more and a third years, and I will be one third, not even fucking half, through this goddamn life. You know, for all I know, I'll be living the second half of this with goddamn gout and Crohn's disease, both caused by my rich diet of just thinking everything's a goddamn bagel chip. Measures of intelligence. Smarts. My good smarts. Let's see, I have a, I get a double A genotype, which I like, because it's AA. Subject's nonverbal IQ performance averaged 3 points higher. See, I have great verbal performance, so suck it. This is how I'm using my powers of verbal performance, is to tell you about fucking bagel chips and to suck it. But you know what, it's more meaningful, because my powers are greater than yours. That must be rough. That must be rough. Let's see here. Odor detection. Humans can discern thousands of odors, though there's a lot of variability in individuals' ability to detect particular ones. Some people have high odor sensitivity, hyperosmia, low sensitivity, hyposmia, or even spellblind to specific scents, anosmia. At least some of the differences in detection ability are thought to be genetically determined. I have a typical sensitivity to the sweaty smell of isovaleric acid. That would be nice to be reduced sensitive to sweaty smell, I think. It would be good as if they gave you a pill. What they really need, they need to develop some kind of way that you can smell yourself. I don't know how come doctors haven't done this. But some kind of way that you can know what you smell like. And then you can say, all right, this is acceptable, or okay, I gotta change my game here. This is not appropriate. How are people even tolerating being my friend? This is probably why they're always asking me if I remember to put on a coat. Because they're thinking, oh, God. Any more layers to trap in that odor, I'm in. Whatever it takes. Pain sensitivity. So I could have either a decreased sensitivity to pain, typical, or increased. Turns out I have an increased sensitivity to pain. So when the famous Dalton from Roadhouse says pain don't hurt, he must have been a GG genotype, whereas I'm a double A genotype, and I say pain hurts incredibly badly. Pain is probably the most painful things. If pain don't hurt, what does? Nothing? I don't know about that, Dalton. Sounded good. I agree with you there. It sounded good. Especially when you said it. You know, you sold it. You sold it, but my equivalent line of pain do hurt. Hurt me a lot. Peter. For Peter, pain does hurt. And I have scientific proof. I don't have a tight black t-shirt like you, but I have scientific proof that pain does hurt. So there you go. We learned a lot about me today. Oh, let's see here. Caffeine. So it turns out I can drink as much caffeine as I want and not have an increased risk of heart attack. There you go. So go fuck yourself. Don't tell me what to do. This is great. So I think I'm fucked on the gout angle. That seems like the worst thing, because it's saying, oh, don't drink booze. drink lots of water. I hate water. I mean, I like water, but I feel like it's one of God's cruelest tricks that we have 8 fucking glasses. He couldn't have built like a body where it's one a day. If I had to drink 1 glass a day, that'd be easy as hell. Get up, you have, I don't know, half a glass, have half a glass with lunch, and then you're fine. You start to feel thirsty after 2 days of not drinking water. That seems like a much better system. Instead, it's how long can you survive without water? I don't know, 20 minutes? You start to shrivel and die. Everything goes away. I think I haven't been drinking enough water for a lot of reasons, but this winter, I've had history's most chapped lips. When they write the book of most chappedest lips in all of history of all time, I'm going to be on the goddamn cover. Close up of my lips that are basically made out of scab material now. I don't know if this is good in that maybe I have fresh new lips every couple days, or if this is bad. I don't know if you have to wear in a lip. Don't know how lips work, obviously. And this is a problem for me because I kind of have a thing against chapstick. I don't really have a problem with other people using chapstick. I just don't feel good when I use... I feel like I'm putting on lipstick. I can't help it. I don't know why. I don't know. When I see a man putting on a chapstick, I feel like, good for you, brother. You're really comfortable in your manhood, and I feel like they're taking it back for men. It's okay. It's okay to look good and feel good. Be confident and sassy. But for me, if I put on chapstick, it's like I hide it in my pocket and crouch in the bathroom in the dark under the sink. I get kneel all the way down there. And I'm just in the corner. It looks like in a movie, if they burst the door open, you'd see a guy eating a rat or something. That's the position I have, except I'm putting on chapstick. Is there like a more masculine kind of chapstick? I don't know what that would be like, in some kind of a container that looks like a cigarette, maybe, or a cigar. Looks like you're just putting out a cigar on your lips. Something. Is there like a flavor to it that's not a flavor? There's the one chapstick that's not flavor, right? That I'm pretty sure is just hard sunblock of some kind. I know that the cherry is not supposed to be used by me. I have one that's white that tastes like watermelon candy that I'm positive is not appropriate. I had a Dr. Pepper one that made my lips a very rich, darkened red that I thought was a very fetching shade for me and also completely inappropriate. I have one that's made out of Burt's Bees. Those Burt's Bees are really being driven to slave. They're making a lot of shit. Either has a lot of fucking bees or they are working really hard. It'd be nice if he only had the one bee's nest this whole time. And he's just been whipping each individual bee. Do it. Do your bee stuff. Make chapstick. I don't know why a bee is involved in chapstick whatsoever. I can just eat honey. If they said, oh, you have chapped lips? Well, just eat honey. Is that going to help your chapped lips? No, but what the fuck? Why not? It's here. Bert's whipping these fucking bees. Somebody might as well eat this shit. Okay. I can agree with that. I don't know why it's in my head like it just feels like when I'm putting it on, I feel like every Tarantino movie lately has a scene of a woman getting ready and she's to fight a battle, but she's also being feminine and puts on lipstick. That's what I feel like. It's like a close-up of my lips. And then I gently caress it with the chapstick. Then I do the, rub the lips together. Mm-hmm. Now I'm ready to kiss. Kiss me. But I have no choice. I have the most chapped lips I've ever had in my life. I don't think they're going to go away. I feel like I could probably drink more water and solve this. But that seems impossible. I don't know. And is anyone out there going through a chapstick? Or do they just lose them? This is like people who finish a pen or a pencil. I have not finished a pen in my life. unless I washed it in the washing machine and it just bled the ink out into my pants. I can't say as I've ever had a pen and then said, well, this pen's out. We did it. We finished the pen. Fucking chapstick, man. I don't know. I'll just never get used to it. I'd like a manly chapstick, A, and a sort of a manlier way to apply chapstick. I don't know what that would look like. If you could put it on an oil rag or something that you just rub on your face, maybe. What's a manly thing? Somehow use a razor to do that? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is because I'm not experienced enough with chapstick. Nor have I thought that there's really been a call for this. But I don't know. Like, make it secret. Like, put it on a ring. You wear this ring. Looks like a big fat pimp Jay-Z ring. And it's got chapstick embedded in it, but you can't tell. It just looks like a ring. And then on the sneak, you rub it on your lips. Or can I get one of my fingernails removed and made out of a chapstick? I can just replace that every couple weeks. Rub my fingernail on my lips or something. That would look all right, right? Or maybe get one of my fingers cut off and use it as a chapstick. Replace it with what looks like a finger, but it's just a finger made out of chapstick. There are a lot of solutions. You know, if I had a fake prosthetic hand, I might take one of the fingers out, cut the tip off, hollow it out, throw a chapstick in there. Although that would be grotesque. They'd be like, why is that guy always rubbing his lips with his goddamn fake hand? That's weird. I think when you have a fake hand, let's say I had this fake hand at a restaurant eating spaghetti or eating a pizza, right? And cheese gets on the hand. You might normally just pick it off and then eat it because it's on your hand. But this is a fake hand. Do you think that changes how you deal with fake hand? You're drinking a beer. It overflows and runs over your hand. So maybe you just lick the beer off because we're all savages. I wouldn't do this. So for me, that's why I have to ask you. I wouldn't do this. I'm not a fucking animal. But would one do this? Would one lick it off? Is that possible? Of the fake hand? Is it different to lick it off the fake hand? It's not really a body part. But that doesn't, I don't know. I wouldn't lick it off my shoe, but I wouldn't lick it off my foot. I wouldn't lick it off of a glove. If I got ice cream on my glove, I would never lick it off my glove. I'd say, all right, I'll just rub this on my pants or something. Unless they were my ice cream gloves, which I have specifically for eating ice cream, then I'd say the gloves are doing their job. All right, let's take a male fertility quiz. I like to give back to science. And this has prompted me to take some quizzes to help me out. Approximately 1 in 6 couples has trouble conceiving a child. With this survey, we hope to find a genetic variance linked to male fertility. So here we go. This survey refers to current or past attempts to conceive a child. You may find it helpful to refer to your medical records or to discuss these questions with your partner. Well, that's impossible because I didn't keep records of sex records. I guess I should have kept a ledger. Let's see. That would be funny. Keep a little record of sex, how things are going, frequency, duration. Make a little end of the quarter report. I just wanted to give you this paperwork. This is how much sex we've been having, how it's been. I know I had you fill out those surveys, rating it from 1 to 10, and you can see the rating has stayed consistent. So I'd like to see that improve over the next quarter, but it seems satisfactory, so I'm happy about that. We didn't get worse. That's good. The frequency has gone down a little bit, but the duration's gotten a little longer. So I think we're hitting the middle point here. All right, question one. If you'll flip to the next page in your PowerPoint here, we'll see what's happening with your areas. Okay, number one, have you ever fathered a biological child? Yes, no, or I'm not sure. Well, I'm going to say no. The reason being, perhaps I've created one, but I've never fathered one. I've never been a father. Okay, we didn't throw a football. Have you ever made a woman pregnant? I mean, I don't think so. Unless there's a secret out there, I'm pretty sure. Boy, I had some scares in my life. That was the scariest thing. I feel like that's gone away a little bit. Well, I guess that's gone away because when you don't have sex, it's pretty easy to not be scared of getting someone pregnant. Who's going to get pregnant from me? How would that even be possible? If someone came up to me and said, I had your baby, I would say that seems extremely unlikely, I have to say, for a lot of reasons, but mostly because I don't think that anyone's been near my gametes for so long. The kid would have to be like 7. Okay. I'm going to say no. Have you ever tried, or are you currently trying, to conceive a child? I mean, I'm trying. If by trying you mean being my charming self in order to trick someone into sleeping with me on a regular basis, yes. But if by trying you mean sexing, no. I'm going to say no. Let's see. Have you ever had a semen analysis done? This is fascinating because here are your options for the question. Have you ever had a semen analysis done? Yes. No. I'm not sure. Have you ever had a semen analysis done? I'm not sure. How would you not be sure? Have you been to an office that seemed vaguely doctorish where they made you jack off into some kind of container and hand it to someone? I don't know. I'm not sure is not an acceptable answer to that question. I'm putting that out there right now. You cannot answer I'm not sure to the question, have you ever had your semen analyzed? Okay? I'm putting no. Because I've never had an analysis done. I don't think my answers are going to be very helpful here. If you have any additional comments related to this survey, please provide them below. I don't think I do. I can put in 512 characters, though. I'm going to submit my survey answers. Male fertility. Great. Oh, I can see everyone's answers. Let's see. Oh, man, I wasn't showed some questions because I said no. Ooh, okay. Have you ever fathered a biological child? 62% said yes. Have you ever made a woman pregnant? 80% said no. That's interesting. This doesn't work because have you ever fathered a biological child? 62% said yes. Have you ever made a woman pregnant? 80% said no. I'm confused. Ooh, the first time you made a woman pregnant, were you trying to conceive? 42% said no. 3%, again, I'm not sure. I was in a weird emotional headspace right then, dude. I don't really know, man. Have you ever tried or are you currently trying to conceive a child? 90% said no. I don't understand. These numbers do not work, right? Let's see. Man, I didn't get any of the questions. This is bullshit. The first time you tried to conceive, did you or your partner undergo procedures to help? 91% said no. But if they did do procedures, most did a in vitro fertilization. Testicular sperm extraction. That sounds terrible. Let's see. After how many months? That's boring. Oh, man. Jesus Christ. What is the greatest number of miscarriages that you and your partner experienced in a row? I didn't get that question. Most said one, but some said four or more. Again, 2%, I'm not sure. I don't know, man, these miscarriages. Who's to say? Jesus Christ. Semen analysis question. Blah, blah, blah. What was your highest sperm count? 69% said I'm not sure. 69. Were you diagnosed with an obstruction or physical blockage that caused you to have a low sperm count? 29% said yes. What is that? Like a BB fell in your pee hole? I don't understand. Did you previously have a vasectomy? I didn't get any fun questions here. Testosterone question. Were you diagnosed with any of these conditions prior or while conceiving a child? Undescended testicles. 1% not sure. Diabetes. 1% not sure. Cancer. 1% not sure. Multiple sclerosis. 1% not sure. Urinary tract infection. 1% not sure. Injury to the testicles that needed hospitalization. 99% no. That's good. That's a good thing. Did you undergo any of the following surgeries prior to? 6% had a hernia operation. Jesus, 2% had testicle surgery. I don't even know what that would be, but it sounds horrible. The first time you tried to conceive a child, did you regularly use hot tubs or saunas? 5% yes. So there you go. I don't know. Is that a thing? Now, it doesn't say, did you use saunas to conceive the kid, right? It just says, did you use them? Yeah, what the fuck? Why not? How many miles were you biking during the week? 74% said none. 17% said less than 10 miles. That's weird. I don't know how you would be biking it weekly and put in less than 10 miles, but okay. How many miles were you biking? What's with all these biking questions? Give me a break. Oh, man. How would you describe your partner's general health the first time you were trying to conceive? 1% say poor. I would say my partner's health was horrible. And 1% again, I don't know. I just fuck something until a baby comes out. I don't really ask a lot of questions, anything like that. I think we've got time for one more quiz. Reading the mind in the eyes. The purpose is to discover genetic variants associated with the ability to read other people's emotional states. This is the test to see if I'm Professor Charles Xavier. For each set of eyes, choose which word best describes what the person is thinking or feeling. You may feel that more than one word is applicable, but please choose just one word, the word you consider to be most suitable. Before making your choice, make sure that you have read all four words. You should try to do the task as quickly as possible, but you will not be timed. So I got a picture of some eyes here. I would say that these are shitty looking. Oh, my options are jealous, panicked, arrogant, or hateful. Well, I'm going to say, how about panicked? That sounds shitty. Of those things, that sounds pretty shitty. Ooh, these are some nice looking eyes. This is like a teen heartthrob. I'm going to say sexy. Let's see. Playful, comforting, irritated, or bored. I'll say playful. That's like sexy, right? Here's an old man. Looks like shit. I'll go shitty again. Terrified, upset, arrogant, or annoyed. I'm going to say upset. What do we have? Ooh, lady eyes. Little thin eyebrow there. Her eyebrows are a little thinner than I care for. I'll say thin, eyebrowed. Joking, flustered, desire, convinced. Well, anytime I see a woman's eyes, I'll just go desire. Here's a shitty looking man. I don't know, man. This is hard. Just from the eyes. I don't know. We'll just go worried, this one. Here's another babe, so I'm going to say, oh man, aghast, fantasizing, impatient, alarmed. Oh, I'm going to say impatient. I've seen that look. This is the look when I'm at the arcade or at the arcade outside the movie theater, something like that. God, why would I do this on the radio? This is so stupid. This guy just looks like he's looking into the sun. Despondent. There's no answer that was stupid, which is how I feel. Oh, my God. How long do I have to go through this? That looks like Kristen Stewart. So annoyed. Very annoyed. I don't know, man. This is so difficult. How are you supposed to know? These are just fucking eyeballs. Just eyeballs. Does it show their whole face when I finish? That's what I want to know. You know what I mean? That looks like a serial killer. That looks like Taxi Driver. This looks like, oof, Jesus. Some kind of molester, for sure. If these were mugshots, I'd say, oh my God. These people all look crazy. They're all guilty. I already think I did this woman. Contemplative. That sounds nice. Must be not. Oof, this guy's got real bad eyebrows. Wow. How many of these do I have to do? How many fucking eyes do I have to look at? I'm not doing another page of this. Okay, I'm done. Fuck you. We're not doing one of these. I mean, how long am I supposed to do this? It'll take 100 hours, and this is the worst radio we've ever done. Well, that's not true. The worst radio we ever did was me spitting into a tube, which is how we got here in the first place. Sorry for that music sting that just came in. Thanks for listening again. Now you know who I am, why I'm this way. And if I start having Crohn's disease on the plus, that'll make for some goddamn interesting, compelling radio. I'll tell you that right now. I will have some Crohn's stories. That'll be the new name of this show, Tales of an Old Crone. Tales from the Crypt. I bet that Crypt Keeper had Crohn's. He looked like he had something going on. I don't think he had the stuff inside that would hold in fecal matter. I think it would just pass through him so quickly. But maybe I'm thinking of what it would be like to eat the Crypt Keeper. What would happen? Okay, that's enough. We did it. We're done today. Thanks for listening. Stick with us, helpfulsnowman.com. If you'd be so kind, review us on iTunes. Actual written review, 5-star review. That would be a big, huge, gigantic help. And subscribe to us on iTunes. Even if you don't really use that as your podcast aggregator, that would still help me out a great deal. I'm not asking a lot. I'm being very revealing about my bowels here. Okay? Help me out. I told you how stupid I am about looking at the sun. Most of you who see me in real life will probably give me shit for it. So just give me a good review. Idiot. Just give me a 5-star review that just says idiot. That's fine. That'll do. That'll accomplish all my life goals. Tune in next time. We'll talk about some checks. Spending cheese. See you guys later. Tell me that the bar is drinking and the lights are swinging in the smoke. I'm a fool for conversation.